Good evening. It's lovely to see so many of you here. I'm just going to read a few verses from the Gospel of Luke. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Well, I don't know about you, but as you've been listening to all those readings, listening to the choir singing the carols, I don't know if you've picked up a theme that's running more or less through everything we've read or sung or heard sung this evening. And that is that these carols and readings are speaking of a child. A child, the child, that was born millennia ago. And as we've been going through the readings, we've been reading some of the prophets, the sages, the wise men of ancient Israel. They're always looking forward to this child that they all spoke about. 800 years before the event, they were speaking about a child that was going to come. And this child was going to inherit a kingdom that was going to be an everlasting kingdom, an indestructible kingdom. And when we sang the carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," we said that God, through this child, was going to impart the blessings of his heaven. And I think that's tremendous, because what the Bible is telling us, the narrative that it's giving us, is that this child is going to bring us something that money can't buy. And the older I get, I don't know if you're the same as me, the older I get, I realize that at Christmas, what I really want, nobody in this world can give me. Because I want something that money simply cannot buy. What I want, and I'm sure what you want, deep, deep down inside, is love on the one hand and peace on the other. Don't you want that? Really? Deep down? And we all feel, if only somehow we could have it. And people come up to me and say, "You know, I thought I had it years ago when I was a child. I thought I had it. I thought I had the security and love that I needed. But now that I grow up, I find myself estranged. If only I could find my son. Because I'm no longer in contact with him. If only I hadn't walked out on my marriage. Because I now found that I'm living in this world, and I never expected it to be like this, but I'm living in this world where there's an emptiness in me now, and nothing can fill it." Now, I find it's fascinating that, that's basically the narrative of the Bible. The narrative is that this child will bring these things to you. But what I find fascinating this Christmas is those hard-bitten, well-paid advertising executives of John Lewis are saying exactly the same thing. Have you seen that John Lewis advert? I mean, I don't know why. These guys are geniuses. Because their job as hard, you know, as hard-nosed secular advertisers is to get into the psyche of the British people and to tap into something that's there. To get you to spend your money, of course. I mean, you know, of course. But you know that in that advert, what you have is this young girl, and she's gets the family telescope, and one evening she's looking out into this night sky, and she sees the moon, and on the moon there's this old man. And she feels, I've got to connect with him. I've got to somehow establish a relationship with him. If I can connect with him, my life is going to be enhanced. My life is going to be more meaningful. Who is this? Do you know who he is, this old man? We're not told. Long lost relative? Her dad who died? God? We don't really know. But John Lewis has tapped into this because it's a deep, we all have it. We're all looking for it. They just by accident, I think, have tapped into the narrative of the Bible. Because we all sense that, as I say, there was a time when we were at peace. When we were connected with each other, when we were connected with the creation, when we were connected with our Creator. The ironic thing is, of course, is John Lewis taps into that theme and then just says, oh, by the way, just go out and buy something you don't really want, give somebody something to somebody that they don't really want either. But where John Lewis' advert leaves off, this Bible narrative is really powerful. Because what it's saying is that this child is going to bring you something that money cannot buy. And as I say, the prophets of the Old Testament were speaking about this, and they said, behold, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, come, buy and eat. Come, buy and drink. Come, buy wine and milk without money and wine without price. Astonishing. I mean, were they on something, do you think? Were they just making this up? What is it exactly that this child was going to bring? Something that was going to be beyond your wildest dreams. What is it? What was it? We've been singing about it. I'm glad you asked that question because the angels actually answer the question, what that child brings. You know that story of the angels, of the shepherds. There they were in the fields outside Jerusalem. And they were there every night. They were always there. They were there because they were attending the sacrificial lambs for the temple sacrifices. That's where they were there. There were these huge flocks. And there they were in the cold and it was dark. And suddenly, the night sky is lit up and the shepherds are startled and they look up and they see hundreds and thousands of angels. And Luke tells us they see a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now that word host is just a posh word for army. In other words, this was a battalion of angels, a battalion of angels in all their serried ranks. Clement of Rome, writing the first century, has a little essay in which he tried to work out what the angels were. And he said in this little essay, he said that they were cherubim and seraphim and aeons and hosts and powers and authorities and principalities and dominions and thrones. In one of her prayers, the Church of England prays, speaks of angels being ordained and constituted in a wonderful order. And there they all were, multitudes of armies, of angels. There must have been millions of them. And then one is delegated to go speak to the shepherds. And I guess if he was delegated to us tonight, he'd say exactly the same what he said back to them. And he said, do not be afraid. Because we read that they were filled with a great fear. Now, there they were in the darkness. They've been sitting in the darkness for years. I don't think... Were they frightened of the dark? I don't think so. I think when they saw these angels, what the angels did was bring out the latent fears in their hearts. And you've got latent fears in your hearts too. I've got them in mine. When Jesus, in the Gospel of John, there's a man called Nicodemus who goes to speak to him. And Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night and he speaks, he asks a question of Jesus in the darkness. And he's asking a question of the light of the world. He says, Jesus Christ, how can I be born again? Only saying this, what does Nicodemus mean by that? Well, Nicodemus, I think, basically means, look, Jesus, I've been born into this world. I've been born under the kingdoms and rule of the Caesars of Rome, and the kingdom that I inhabit is a violent kingdom. How can I come into your kingdom, Jesus? You say you're a king. How can I come into your kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and peace and justice? Because that's a spiritual kingdom. How do you enter it? And Jesus says something really shocking. Really shocking. He says, Nicodemus, there's a tremendous problem you have. And the problem is simply this. This is the condemnation. This is the problem. The light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. When the angels came, with all that light, men shrank back. Because they sensed under that light, their deeds would be exposed. Now all of us have anxieties. Deep anxieties. Normally we suppress them. We put a lid on it and we think we're fine. And we go through life strutting our stuff, thinking everything's cool. We're lying to ourselves, of course, but when you confront this light, this heavenly light, the light of the angels, you lose the plot. You can't keep it under control anymore. And all of us are afraid. I don't know, I've read a blogger, a famous one, I won't mention his name, but he said there seems to be in the nation now a permanent cloud of nervousness and instability that pervades our news channels and filters through into our daily lives. It's true, isn't it? ISIS. What's going to happen? Europe, that great big project, is it all just going to collapse? Where does that leave us? And so when the light comes, we become sore afraid and we can no longer hide our fears because now they're exposed, because now they fear rejection. Now they have the fear of missing out. Now they fear that all their deepest thoughts are going to be revealed. Their hypocrisy. Their lust. Their ambition. Their willingness to trample on others to get what they want. But then notice what the angel says. He says, don't be afraid. Why not? Don't be afraid. That's a command. It's the imperative mood. It says, do not be afraid. Because I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. A sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And you think, for goodness sake, what sort of sign is that? What's that meant to tell you? A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do not be afraid because there's a baby who can't move. A baby trapped, a baby wrapped up, a baby tied down, a child at the mercy of men and women, a child at the mercy of the violent kingdoms of this world, a child at the mercy of the darkness. How can that child allay my fear? You know, we're told in the Bible that Jesus Christ did not think equality with God something to be grasped. We're a culture that's obsessed with equality. Jesus goes, equality, nah. He gives it up. He does not think equality with God something to be grasped, but he lays aside his power. Lays it aside, his dignity, his majesty, his power, and what we see in this child is glory restrained. We see the sword sheathed, might subdued, the bow unstringed, the war chariots unhorsed. Because when this child became a man, he was tied once more. who was brought in chains to Pontius Pilate. And then he was nailed naked to a cross where he died. And Jesus Christ was thrown into the darkness, thrown into the void. He submits himself to the violent kingdoms of this world. So you and me and all of us can enter into his kingdom of light. Do not be afraid. If you're afraid tonight of what's happening in the world, if you're afraid of the future, if you're full of anxiety about relationships, about finances, about anything, it's because you're not looking at the child long enough. Because if you look and look and look at him and bring him down into your heart and into your life, you'll have entered by faith into the kingdom of heaven, and you'll be a citizen now of an indestructible kingdom that can never be destroyed. Don't you want that? You know, some of you say, yeah, it sounds good, and you know, I'm not a Christian, I'm an agnostic, and I'm atheist. That's fine. But even if you're a non-Christian, even if you're agnostic, even if you're atheist, I bet you're thinking, I wish I could believe that. Because if that is true, that is the most amazing thing anybody has ever told you. The angel said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Look to Jesus, run to him in penitence and faith, and he will open the gates of the kingdom of heaven to you. And guess what? John Lewis can't sell that. Amen.